Local Matters, the weekly news podcast from Mountain Express. This is Margaret Williams, news editor, and I'm joined by staff reporter Jake Frankel, who's been a busy guy this week. Those commissioners, Buncombe County commissioners, were talking about parkways and overlooks and a few other things.
Yeah, they were. They unanimously passed a resolution this week to urge the administrators of the Blue Ridge Parkway to build an overlook that features views of downtown Asheville. Surprisingly, there are no overlooks right now that do include views of the city. The commissioners are hoping that if they build an overlook, it would draw tourists into town to help stimulate the economy. The superintendent of the parkway, Phil Francis, was there, and he expressed support for the idea, but he also let commissioners know that any new overlook construction and maintenance would have to go through the National Park Service's in-depth planning process, and that they are strapped for funds right now. So he would, in theory, if it passes the planning process, he indicated that he would come back to the commissioners down the line and look for help funding, although there are also some private foundations that could help fund that kind of thing. The public was mostly supportive of it, although Don Yelton, a former Republican candidate for commissioner, stood up there and said that he thinks that the Biltmore House should help fund any new overlook in that location, because the view from there is actually features the Biltmore House more prominently than it does the city of Asheville. Blue Ridge Parkway administrators have actually already studied where they could potentially put an overlook, and they only found one location that even has a view of the town, and it's about 10 miles south of the visitor center, right around mile marker 394.5.
Which is not far from the entrance at Highway 191, the old Brevard Highway there.
Interesting enough, there's actually a precedent for the Blue Ridge Parkway doing this kind of thing. Phil Francis said that not long ago, they built an overlook at the request of the city of Roanoke in Virginia to feature a view of that city to draw tourists to the area.
And what else did commissioners talk about?
They also formally instructed the Buncombe County Board of Elections to put a referendum on the ballot November 8th to give voters a say on if they would support a quarter-cent sales tax increase, all of which would go towards funding capital funds at AB Tech. They had passed an almost identical referendum a few months back, but they had accidentally left out language that would make the sales tax increase expire in the year 2029. The newest resolution has that sunset clause in it. So that is all set to happen November 8th. Voters will get to have a say. If voters support the measure, then the county commissioners would still have to vote on it again to make it law, although they've all unanimously expressed support for the idea, and there's no doubt that if voters went for it, then they would as well.
Is that different from the referendum we've been talking about that will come up on the ballot related to AB Tech?
That is the same exact referendum, and like you mentioned, they've been talking about this for a while. They already passed a resolution that was almost the same a few months ago. It was almost just a technicality that they had to revisit it because they accidentally left this language out of that one.
Another upcoming story that Jake Frankel, our staff reporter, has been working on is he had a little talk with Just Economics, which is a local nonprofit that supports living wage measures around town and in the region. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, Just Economics, like you mentioned, is a nonprofit that advocates for fair and more just, in their view, business practices in this town, including a living wage program where it's a voluntary program that local businesses can apply to be certified as a living wage employer. Just Economics has a series of formulas that they use to determine what makes an employer living wage or not, but the basic requirement is that they have to pay $11.35 an hour or $9.85 an hour if the employer offers benefits. This is a remarkably successful program in the area, considering that Just Economics has only been coordinating it for a few years, and the entire time we've been suffering some pretty tough economic times, and they've gotten over 200 local employers to agree to it, which is actually more than any other program in the country that is doing similar things. So the folks at Just Economics praised the local business community for its willingness to take part in this program and to offer their employees oftentimes a little bit more than other competitors in similar fields. I spoke with a number of local employers and employees that participate in the program, and everyone I spoke with touted the benefits. Employers said that they are willing to pay their employees a little bit more, and that it actually benefits their bottom line in the long run by keeping employees on staff for longer. If employees are happier, they're less likely to have to deal with turnover and training costs. And of course, employees love it because they get paid more than they would mm-hmm. doing similar jobs at other places. And all the employees I talked to that work for businesses like this had just raved about how much they like their jobs and how much they appreciate their employers for paying them a little more. I spoke with Julia Sterling, who is a teacher at the Child Care Center at First Presbyterian Church, and she had just gotten about $1.25 raise a few months ago when the school opted into this program. And she's not alone. There's many employees in this town that have gotten raises from employers in order so that they can get this certification. Another benefit for them to be in this program is that Just Economics works with them to market the employer as having this certification, hoping that consumers will reward these businesses over their competitors for taking part in it and for paying their employees a little bit more money.
Yes, for example, daycare is traditionally a very low-paid field to be in, so I understand there was a significant raise for that young lady.
Yeah.
Who are some of the other folks you spoke to? Employers, employees?
Sure. Another interesting point that Just Economics mentioned was that they take particular pride, like you mentioned, in industries that are traditionally low-paying, such as childcare. Another thing they mentioned that's really important in this area is service industry jobs. Mm-hmm. I spoke with an employee at the French Broad Chocolate Lounge who has been there a couple years. She's a 30-year-old lady, and she said she gets paid more there than any other job she's ever had, and she was thrilled to be there. She gets health benefits and paid vacations, which is, again, very unusual in service industry jobs.
True. Well, we'll stay tuned to how that develops and how that fits in with the changing economy that we have right now. Joining me now is senior reporter David Forbes, who this past week was working on an economic story. We
yes.
had a little bit of a surprise visit, from our point of view, of a couple of federal officials.
Yes, we had Jane Oates, who's the Assistant Secretary for Labor, specifically around economic and workforce development, and John Fernandez, who was the Assistant Secretary for Commerce. So, and they both came to the Southeastern Economic and Workforce Development Conference, which, despite the long name, is actually a pretty notable gathering of local officials and planners and business people from all across the region, and focused kind of on how to get more jobs and how to develop the workforce that's already here.
So what were some of the suggestions that they had?
Well, specifically, Oates was very very upfront, and she said that there needs to be more focus on small businesses. Not the way, in her opinion, the federal government is traditionally regarded as small businesses below 500 people, but like one,
really
two,
small.
Three-person startups, of which Asheville is full of, businesses kind of in that range and a little bigger. And she said that that's where the attention of the Departments of Labor and Commerce and all the other federal agencies needs to be focused to get them to hire people, to get them the resources they need, to make them aware of resources that are already there that they, especially startup businesses, may not be aware of. She mentioned everything from hiring veterans to assistance if they were in an area that had been hit by a disaster or something. There's a lot of stuff there. Fernandez highlighted a number of things such as innovation clusters, including Asheville's beer industry, which he said he'd gotten a question from about that from a Wall Street Journal reporter on his way into the city, as a matter of fact. Kind of as something that springs up, it's innovative, it hires a number of people, basically becomes kind of a local industry, and it's promoting those clusters is kind of what he's looking at. Both of them kind of touted what they called the one-stop shops at their agencies, which were people and ways to advise, you know, businesses or workers about what they have access to. So yeah, it was a lot of stuff going over, lots of interesting stuff for Asheville. We're heavy on, we've got a lot of small businesses here, and Oates especially emphasized, he said, you know, we haven't made a dent in the jobs problem. People really need to, you know, ramp up hiring. They need to look at what's there. You know, their needs, she said, her department, the federal government, helped with some grants to improve community colleges, modernize them so they can hire more people. But Fernandez interestingly emphasized that in his opinion, these days, it's not Asheville competing with like Charlotte or Greenville for jobs. It's all those cities and the region competing with China and Brazil and India and all this, you know, it's much more global kind of competition these days. And that so things had to be kind of looked at from a regional perspective.
Regional and global, that's mm-hmm. that's daunting, but we know that we have some very good small businesses in
Indeed
this area.
Do.
Thanks, David. We'll keep an eye on those innovation clusters in Asheville.
Especially the beer ones.
Yes, well, very closely. And that wraps it up for Local Matters. See you next time.